I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right. Well, I am excited to teach a lesson in our series. We're in a series entitled Bold Faith. Everybody say Bold Faith. And so you can go, I'm not going there right now, but you can go ahead and put your fingers on 1 John 5 and 4 and in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. 1 John 5 and 4, 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. And of course, they'll put them up on the screen for you as well. All right, one more time, everybody say bold faith. All right. I believe that, first of all, I believe the Bible, and the Bible says that the righteous are bold as a lion. And I believe that it is the order of God and it's the will of God that we be bold in our beliefs and that we be bold in faith. I believe that I am where I am today because of the principles of faith that I learned years ago and I begin to apply in my life. And as I applied them, things got better and better for me. I believe that faith is the most important subject that a believer needs to learn after getting saved. Once you get saved and give your life to the Lord, you have to learn faith because the Bible says that that is how we live, that we live by faith. I believe bold faith is overcoming faith. I believe that bold faith is the type of faith that knows how to take a licking and keep on ticking. It is the type of faith that says no matter what comes, no matter what goes, I believe God. It is the type of faith that says if everybody else changes their mind, I'm going to stick with the word because I know the word works if I work the word. Amen? And so I also believe that no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, that right now you are living your best life now. Amen? And you would say, well, Pastor, how can you say that? Because you don't know what I'm going through because we never magnify situations, we always magnify the word of God. It's part of the process of faith. You just heard me say it, that we call those things that be not as though they were. So even if you're not in such a great situation, you got to start talking and saying what the word says, and you need to keep saying, I am living my best life now. God is opening some doors for me. He's making some ways for me. As a matter of fact, favor is showing up in my life. He's raising up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me prosper. I'm winning even when it looks like I'm losing, because weapons may form, but they will not prosper. I might bend, but I will not break. Are y'all ready for this young preacher on this morning? Because if y'all are ready for me, anything might happen, because there's an anointing in the room to remove every burden and destroy every yoke by the power of God. And I want you to know you don't have a problem God can't solve, and you don't have a situation he can't fix, and you don't have a sickness that he's not already healed. He says, I am that I am. I'm whatever you need me to be. And so that's why when I need joy, he's my joy. And when I need peace, he's my peace. And when I need all sufficiency, he's my all sufficiency. He's my everything. Amen. I believe that he is the God of victorious reversals. I believe that he is the God of rapid recovery. I believe that he is the God that will give me double for my trouble. All right. Now, let me preface this by saying that just because we're saved does not exempt us from adversity. You got it? Just because we're saved does not mean that we will not go through anything. Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So in other words, as a believer, you are going to go through some things, but the writer doesn't stop there. He says, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. So not out of some of them, but he's going to deliver me out of all. So it doesn't matter if I just got through a fight, and thank God he brought me through a fight, and it seemed like another was on the horizon. If he did it before, he'll do it again. Same God right now, same God back then. So you have to have faith in the faithfulness of God, because God is a faithful God. So I believe that bold faith is overcoming faith. Are you at 1 John 5 and 4? All right. 1 John 5 and 4 says, for whatsoever, or you could really say whosoever, and so that's you, is born of God, overcometh the world. Does what, class? Overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So it's my faith that's going to cause me to overcome. It is my faith that's going to cause me to go to the next level. It is my faith that's going to see my body get healed. It is my faith that's going to see my relationships get better. It's my faith that's going to cause me to increase in my finances. So it is my faith that's going to cause me to go from where I am to where I need to be. Does that make sense? You all know the scripture in Ephesians 3 and 20. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so this, the writer teaches us that God has the ability to go beyond the scope of my present thinking. So whatever we're thinking, God says, I can do that, but just so you know, I can do better than that. And then you start coming to a church like this with this little young preacher dressing down like he know the word on Sundays, you got it? And then you starting to be like, man, this little guy know what he talking about. This young man be teaching up in here. And I'm applying that word and it's working in my life. And you start, watch it, you start believing for a little bit bigger and you start believing for a little bit better. And people around you are like, what's going on with her? And what's going on with him? And God says, every higher height that you go, I can do that. But just so you know, I can do better than that because I'm able to do exceeding abundantly far above all that you can ask or think. So God is saying, quit asking me for a toothpick when you need a tree. I will give you the whole forest. I am God and there's nobody like. I will write you a blank check inside my name because I can handle it. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. And so, you know, y'all know my whole little thing when I teach that lesson. I don't want to stay on it long, but one of the keys is you have to learn how to stay away from small-minded people. You have to learn how to stay away from people. Like, oh, baby, I don't know if I be going out to that church. I don't know if I be starting a business. You know, the economy and this. No. We walk by faith and not by sight. So anytime God puts something, a desire on the inside of me, he also backs it up with his power to perform it. And God, he asked a question in Jeremiah. He said, is there anything too hard for me? So there's nothing too hard for God. All right. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Y'all getting blessed? All right. 1 Corinthians 15:58. This is what you have to do. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. See, if I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results. He says, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware. How aware? Continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. And sometimes when we're going through things, how many know the devil be like, don't go to church. You ought to stop serving. You ought to stop giving, you know, and the Bible says, no, you can't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. You know, he says, knowing that and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. So what I'm doing, watch this now, it's not a waste of my time. My son and I, we were driving down the road and he was telling me that he was tired. And he was tired because we woke up early in the morning and those kind of things. And we had a big day, you know, yesterday. And then we were here on Friday night and those kind of things. And I said, yeah, but Jay, I said, you got to remember, we made a difference. And so he said, yeah, Dad, I know. He said, but, you know, I was just taking, you know, boxes to the people's cars. And I had to stop and break down for him. You got it. That you have to understand the impact that you made in that person's life that was not able to buy their own turkey. They came to a place of love. They came to a place where people were smiling. And you were willing to walk all the way to their car and put it. You are never closer to the will of God when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. And I said, son, God didn't see that as small. God saw that as something big. And how many know that God is keeping score, right? And God is writing everything down and jotting everything down. And over time, it's accumulating. So all of a sudden, when things break out for you, people say it was all of a sudden. No, I've been working on this thing. I've been serving. I've been praying. I've been giving. And God has been adding it up. And all of a sudden, I step into my season of suddenly. Suddenly doors opening. Suddenly things started to happen. Suddenly people that were mean had to start being nice to me. Suddenly, you know, this environment that was bad had to switch in my life because God had been counting it up and he made sure he was going to put me in a season that I had been believing to be in all along. That's why I tell people the church you go to and the words you hear makes a difference. Can I just talk about that for a minute? See, being in an environment of faith around people of faith will help produce your faith so you can get the victory not in some areas but in every area of your life. You got it? And so you have to understand, I need to be around people of faith. I need to be around people that are talking like I'm talking. I need to be around people that are believing like I'm believing. I, because principle of dominant influence says that, you know, like if you get around a big crowd, watch this, you will become like that crowd. So that means you have to be around the right crowd. Because if I'm around a big crowd that don't believe, you know, the word, you got it, that don't believe that marriage lasts long, you know, and all these things, then, you know, my life will start going backwards. And so you have to understand that faith makes the difference. And then being in a crowd like this, everybody's doing good and everybody's prospering and everybody's working on some things. And you know, because we got a testimony over here and a testimony over here and a testimony over here. And watch this. And even if my testimony hadn't showed up yet, I'm beginning to praise God with my brothers and sisters that have already, you know, seen some things happen in their lives. Because if God is blessing your neighbor, he's in the neighborhood. Everybody say, if God's blessing your neighbor, he's in the neighborhood. And so now I'm not in competition with anybody. I'm not trying to be better than anybody else. I'm just trying to be better than I was yesterday. I'm marching to the beat of my own drum, and I'm just trying to be the best me I can be. Is there anybody say, I ain't in competition with nobody. I'm just trying to be the best me I can be. I'm just trying to be better than I was. I'm just trying to develop myself so I can be the best that I am. Does that make sense? All right. Well, y'all know it because I talk about it a lot of time, but Dino's been cutting my hair ever since I came to the city. And it's amazing to see what God has done in his life from the time I first saw him to where he is now. You got it? He was on vacation last week. You got it? On a cruise, just chilling. You understand what I'm saying? You go from not being able to go down the street to learning the word of faith. You got it? And God increasing your life, and you just start going on cruises. You got it? You know, Pastor, I'm going to miss next Sunday. Now, I'll be Sunday after that, but I'm going to be missing next Sunday because I'm taking my baby. We going on a cruise. You understand? Ain't nobody mad but the devil. And he wasn't going to give an offer no ways. So I had to go get my hair cut at Shane's. You got it? And I said, oh, that's right. Shane cuts hair. And then I'm there. Watch this. Getting my hair cut. And Shane is talking some good stuff about Dino. Then I go to Dino's to, you know, get my hair cut yesterday. And he's talking good about Shane. Isn't it so good that we can be in the same profession doing the same thing? Ain't nobody mad but the devil. And look, Dino didn't have to do that. You got it. But he said, now I would not be where I am if it was not for him. And we got to learn that wherever we are, we did not get there by ourselves. Y'all understand that we are standing on the shoulders of somebody who opened the door, who pushed me, who encouraged me to help me get to where I am. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So I believe it's time for believers to stop hating on one another and start encouraging one another and start pushing one another and say, if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. Faith makes the difference. Everybody say faith makes the difference. All right, go with me to Romans 1 and 17. Romans 1 and 17. I got to calm down. I'm getting a little happy in the house. All right. Okay. Romans 1 and 17. There it is on the screen. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how? So the just shall live by faith. Faith is not a spare tire that, you know, you just go and use it in case of emergency. Faith is a way of life. You got it? The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so when you begin to understand the scripture, he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And anytime, because I'm a teacher of the word of God, I like to break things down and begin to understand things. And he says that the righteousness of God, it is revealed. That word revealed means seen, shown, or understood. So the righteousness of God is seen, shown, or understood. Watch this. As I move from one level of faith to the next level of faith, because the Bible teaches us that there are different levels of faith. He says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so the writer is teaching me that the righteousness of God, and the Greek word for righteousness is dikaiosune. It has to do with integrity, purity, virtue of heart, rightness or correctness of acting, thinking, or feeling. This deals with the nature of God, who he is, and how he feels about me. So when we begin to understand the righteousness of God, at the end of the day, it is who he is and how he feels about me. You got it? That is why Jesus died and shed his blood, because of who he was and how he felt about you. That is why he blesses you every day, because of who he is and how he felt about you. That is why he woke you up this morning and started you on your way, because of who he is and how he feels about you. And the Bible says, the way, watch this, oh man, and so the Lord was showing me yesterday, something that don't understand, don't forget that my grace is multifaceted, or it's many-sided. And so as you move from one level of faith to the next level of faith, you're just seeing another side of who I am and how I feel about you. So you begin to come to a church like this, and maybe you just, you know, you've never learned the word at this level. And you start learning the word at this level, and you start giving of your tithes and offering, and you start serving and those kind of things. And you realize, man, the Bible is really true. This stuff really works. You got it? And so you went from living from paycheck to paycheck saying, man, I believe God after my paycheck that I'm going to have some money left over. You got it? And not overnight, but over time, you begin to work that thing. Next thing you know, here come the 1st, 15th, whenever you get paid, you pay all your bills, you got you some money left over. You understand what I'm saying? Now you're doing your little dance. You're happy about it. God says, I want you to be happy about it. I want you to do your little dance, but I don't want you to forget that, you know, you went from that level of faith to that level of faith because you just saw who I was and how I feel about you. And then what happens is you said, I'm tired of renting. God bless the child as God his own. I know my credit ain't exactly the way it's supposed to be, but my pastor's been teaching on the favor of God, that God will raise up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence. Now, don't get me wrong. I need to work on my credit, and I need to get those things right. So, but I'm saying now that I know better, I'm doing better, and God will assist me along the way. You got it? And then the next thing you know, you start knocking on the door. God opens the door, and you go on the closing day. You going with Joe to the closing table to get your own house. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? And then you get your house. You know, the first thing at least we do when we buy a house, you know, after closing, I get the keys. And then I just go through the house and I shout unto God with the voice of triumph. That's what the Bible says. Clap your hand, all ye people, shout unto God. You got it? And God says, I want you to do your little dance, but I don't want you to forget that as you move from that level of faith to that level of faith, you have just saw who I was and how I feel about you. And every time I heal you, and every time I bless you, and every time I protect your children, and every time I open a door, and every time I make a way, you have just saw who I was and how I feel about you, because the righteousness of God is seen, shown, or understood as I move from one level of faith to the next level. That young man is teaching up in here. Yes, he is. Everybody say, stay focused, stay in your lane, keep going. All right. So. Matthew, the 14th chapter and the 28th verse. They'll put it up on the screen. Matthew, the 14th chapter and the 28th verse. We know that Peter did walk on water. Isn't that right? All right. Sometime in this story, people, not Peter, you got it, because he was sinking, but he did walk on water. All right. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come on the water. Now, you understand, the disciples, Jesus had told them to go ahead on. The disciples were on the boat. You know, the wind was contrary. Storm shows up. Jesus come up on the water just walking. You understand? You got it? And some of the disciples were afraid. Like, you know, is this a ghost or something? You know, that kind of thing. So Peter, watch this, because he heard Jesus' voice, he perceived that that was Jesus. And that's why you got to know your Father's voice for yourself. But that's another story for another time. All right? And so he heard Jesus. He said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come on. You got it? All right, let's keep reading. He says, come, verse 29, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, watch very carefully what that next part says. Does it not say he walked on the water to go to Jesus? So he did it, isn't that right? All right, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what? Afraid. That's why you can't get in fear. You got it? Because fear, watch this now, will cause you to do what you could not do when you were in faith. All right? So he says he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. At least he cried out to the right one. Right? And immediately, what happened? Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now, I love this. This is my sanctified imagination, because you have to understand that Peter was on the boat with the other guys. And the other guys, you know, they were like, something is not right, because somebody just come up walking on the water. And that is just not, that's not natural. No, it's supernatural. You got it? And so Peter hears Jesus. He said, man, I know that voice. You understand what I'm saying? And so he starts walking on the water. He's walking on the water. Come here, Joe. He's walking on the water. Watch this now. To go to Jesus. So you stay right there. So he gets up out the boat. Right? The Bible said he is walking on the water to go to Jesus. As he's getting to Jesus, he stops, he gets distracted, he loses his focus on Jesus and starts looking at the wind or the situation that they're going through. or the doctor's report, you got it, or the lack of funds in your bank account, or the thing that your spouse is acting crazy. Don't look at your spouse. Look at me right now. You got it. So he took his focus off of Jesus and watch it, and put his focus on external things and watch this, took him from a place of faith to a place of fear. And the Bible said he began to sink. Now, I'm not sure how you can begin to sink, because you would just think you sinking. You got it. But watch this. He had got far enough that even when he went down, he said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus stretched out and helped him up. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Oh, you got to get this. So watch this. Jesus gets him back up in the position that he needs to be. They are on the water. Watch this. Both standing on the water. Now they are having a conversation. Jesus says to him, "Peter, what happened to you? Why did you doubt?" Peter's like, "Man, I'm sorry, Jesus. I took my eyes off you." And Jesus is like, "It's okay. Let's go back to the boat." They both walk back to the boat on the water, get back in the boat. You got it? Thank you, Joe. Give him a big hand. Why are you telling me this, Pastor? Why are you telling me this? Because it is important to maintain a faith focus no matter what's happening around you. It is important to maintain a faith focus because, watch this, loss of focus takes place when I'm confronted with the contradiction to my desired state that captures my attention, compromises my vision for the moment, and causes me to doubt what I'm already capable of doing. I'm going to break it down. Don't worry about it. All right? So loss of focus takes place when I'm confronted with a contradiction to my desired state. I'm trying to go here, but I got this holding me back. And what it does, it captures my attention. So instead of looking at Jesus, I'm looking at the situation. And then it compromises my vision for a moment. Watch this. Because instead of looking this way, I started looking that way. All right? Look at James and say, "Don't lose your sight. Don't lose your sight." All right? Watch this. So it compromises my vision for a moment and causes me to doubt, watch this, what I'm already capable of doing. Peter was already walking on the water. He was already doing it. But you see how you can already be doing something, and if you lose focus and get out of faith over into a place of fear, it'll cause you to not be able to do what you were able to do. Does that make sense? How many know that's why you got to stay in an environment of faith? Because if I stay in an environment of faith, watch this, now I'm able to continue to do what I'm always doing. Are y'all getting blessed? All right, you will be ruled. Everybody say, "He's almost done." Yes, he is. He's almost done. This is working out for me today. All right, you will be ruled in life either by one or two things, either by external circumstances or eternal concepts. In life, you're going to be ruled by one of those two. Everybody say, "External circumstances or eternal concepts." Okay, when we begin to talk about external circumstances, this is by what you see. This is the sense realm. And that's why the writer says, 2 Corinthians 4:18, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All right? And so external circumstances, that's everything around you on the outside. External circumstances. It doesn't look like I'm going to have enough money to pay my bill by Friday. External circumstances. My spouse is just acting crazy, and I've been praying and fasting. I thought it was going to get better, and it looks like it's going to get worse before it gets better. External circumstances. My body, what the doctor says is actually happening. Like, he told me that I was gradually going to get worse. External circumstances. But you can't live your life by external circumstances. You have to live your life by eternal concepts. What are eternal concepts? By the revelation that you have of the Word of God. So yes, watch this now. Watch this. Yes, at this very moment, it's only Monday, and it doesn't look like I have enough. I'll have enough to pay that light bill by Friday. You got it. But the revelation I have is that He's going to supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Watch this. And it's only Monday, so why would I get in fear? God has four more days to open a door, make a way, and show out in my life. Does that make sense? All right. Everybody say eternal concepts. Yeah, the doctor told me that this is going to happen and that was going to happen. And, it is a fact that a few of those things are happening, but I have a revelation of the Word of God that He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him, and by His stripes I am healed. So I choose not to be moved by what I see, but only by what I believe, and I believe the Word of God. And so everywhere I go, I say, "Father, I thank You for Your healing virtue flowing through my body from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I declare that I'm not the sick trying to get healed, but I'm the healed resisting sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. You said you'd put none of these diseases on me that you put on the Egyptian. You said healing was the children's bread. So Father, I thank you that I'm totally healed from the crown of my head to the very soles of my feet. As a matter of fact, body, line up with the word of God. Do exactly what the word of God says. Now, what am I doing? I'm saying what the word says based on eternal concepts of a revelation that I have. And you know the principle. If you keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, you are going to see the word manifest in your life. That's a good place to clap right there. All right. See, if the enemy can keep you in the realm of reasoning, he will defeat you over and over and over. But if you can keep him in the realm of faith, you will defeat him over and over and over. You got it? So the battle takes place in the mind. Where's the battle take place? Every day we are at a war because Satan attacks us with thoughts that are contrary to the word of God. Victory is assured when you align your thoughts with the word of God, regardless of what it looks like. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, my last scripture. Have you all been blessed? All right. Now, I need you to focus on the scripture. Do what? All right. So, you know, your neighbor been texting you. Just reply to him. Stop. You got it? Just sit here. You got it? All right. Just reply to him. Stop. Because you over here and they over there, y'all been texting. I know. Pick that thing up. Now, let me stop. For though we walk in the... That's right. We do not war after the flesh, right? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, strongholds are houses of thoughts that reside in your mind. That's what a stronghold is. Watch what he says, how you handle that in verse 5. Casting down imaginations and a few of the high. There you go. Shout me down when I ain't talking right. I don't know why people just say, whatever the preacher says so, that's not true. Whatever the preacher says so, as long as it's in the word of God. Can I get a? All right. Preachers be doing all kind of crazy stuff nowadays. Saw there was an occult, that, you know, and the sheriff had to go in and arrest the guy. He had people there for 20 years having incest and all these kind of things. And people just said, well, he was the preacher. Are you kidding me? You need to tell them these boots was made for walking and that's just what they'll do. You ain't even got to be super spiritual. No, some things just are not right. Okay, I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to leave it alone. All right. So he says, cast in imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the name and the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And sometimes, let's get out of here, Courtney, that can be a full-time job. Because let's just be honest, sometimes, you know, have you ever been like everything was going good? And then all of a sudden it seemed like all hell had broke loose. Like, you ever been in a situation like folks are acting crazy? Like, well, where did that come from? Right. And you know, maybe I'm the only one, but you're dealing with that. And then something else shows up. And you're like, OK, well, bless God. Where did that come from? You got it. And then that child that's always been doing really good starts back and you're like, OK, well, where did that come from? And it is in that moment that the enemy will try to cast all these thoughts. I'll tell you, it's not going to work. You're not going to make it. The marriage was getting better, but it's not going to get better. The kids were getting better, but that was just for a little while. Your body, it was shaping up. But as you can see, it's digressing. And so the enemy will work overtime to feed you as many lies as he can. But the Bible says we can't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. So the Bible says that when the enemy comes at you, you got to go back at him with the word. And that's why you got to know this word. And that's why you got to come to a church that will teach you the word of God. So it'll help you overcome every obstacle so you can live it. So I just want you to know that you're winning even when it looks like you're losing. That weapons may form, but I'm telling you, if you stay in faith, they're not going to prosper. There may be moments that you get frustrated, but if you stay focused and keep your eyes on Jesus, how many know that he'll always bring you through? I like to say it this way. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise. I like to say it like this before we pray. As long as Jesus is on your boat, you cannot sink. That's the bottom line. I don't care if the boat is rocking and rolling and the winds are going. As long as Jesus is on the boat, you cannot sink. As long as Jesus is on the boat, you're always going to have everything you need. As long as Jesus is on the boat, you're not going to lose your mind. As long as Jesus is always on the boat, then you're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. I'm not saying you won't have a moment of this and a moment of that, but he makes a promise, I will deliver you out of all of it. So as long as Jesus is on the boat, you cannot sink. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big hand of praise.